I'll read from the First Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 to 17. First Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 to 17. And I begin to read. Now, it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen from men of Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and so went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the caves. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I'll deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David rose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterwards that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.' So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, 'My lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog, a flea? Therefore, let the Lord be the judge, and the judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand." So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I am, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil." I want to speak about the subject that I've entitled "Stay the Course." Stay the Course. And really, I'm more focusing on the last verse where we see that Saul is handed into the hands of David. And obviously, we all know the history of Saul. Saul was persecuting and following the Philistines. And when he heard the word come to him about David, he instructed his men to follow David where he was. And obviously, David knew, having known the history about Saul, obviously David must have known that once I'm found, definitely something bad will happen. And alas, as Saul went pursuing with his men, seeking to find this David. And David, as we read in the scriptures, it appears somehow is led by God. The hand of God is upon him. Even when David had all the opportunities to do anything that he could have decided to do to Saul, he then restrains himself from doing or from reciprocating. And we read from the scripture that the men that were surrounding David, they tried actually to persuade him to kill Saul. But David decided not to follow the advice of his men and did that which he was inspired in his heart. And that's the scripture that I want to dwell on. You see, in our lives today, one example that I can maybe give now is what is happening between Russia and Ukraine. We don't know everything that has been happening over the decades that have passed between Russia, from the times when it was USSR, Yugoslavia, and all those kind of things. Whatever agreements we are going on, whatever has happened, maybe we know in part. And we're seeing obviously what is happening is really devastating to everyone. It's really heartbreaking. It's not something that you want to see in the neighborhood or to anyone. It's something that is really sad for everyone. And we don't want to see that continue to happen. Everyone wants to see that end. But whatever may have happened, sometimes I've looked at that word to say, really, yes, bad things do happen. But is there no moment that this Russian president can sit with a colleague and come to that common goal where you don't really put people to suffer the way we are seeing? You don't kill, innocent people the way we are seeing people are dying. We don't destroy the infrastructure, things that have been acquired for years and years, the way we are seeing at it, is there no such a moment as civilized people that he can come back to his senses and sit down with the God and find the way? You look at Russia attacking Ukraine as a sovereign country. You cry, you know, you see how children are in, how, you know, in agony, the old people. What is just happened there? And now I was looking at this scripture to say, look at what Saul did. And David saw this with his own physical eyes, what was happening. And definitely in himself, I could see that he didn't have much hope what could happen if Saul got hold of him. And he comes to this moment where he just ignores this to say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to reciprocate. I'm not going to pay tit for tat. And I'm saying, well, God, is this the kind of Christian that you want me to be? I mean, in our setup, in our communities, in our families, we all have experienced things. I've heard time and again people talk about saying, I don't even want to meet that person, I don't even want to talk to them, or I've not seen my brother, I've not seen my uncle for 20 years, I've not done this just because of what they did, you know, apparently, you know, probably it's to do with some inheritance, maybe when somebody was a bit wealthy and stuff like that, they would go to be with the Lord. And then in their will, they left out some people that they thought, you know, this did not deserve to have a share of my part. And that brings division. And somebody feels, no, I think it must have been Chizenge who, you know, inspired my uncle or my to do such a thing, to write such kind of a will. And so they say, I will not speak to them. I don't want to see them in my face. Such kind of thing. And apparently these things don't only happen as we hear them, but they're happening from the church. They're happening from the Christian community. And I'm looking at these scriptures to say, what a challenge that this word is throwing to each and every one of us. In whatever small way, little ways, encounters that we have faced, would we stand such moments, giving the other cheek to be smacked? Even when you've received one already, you still offer the other's cheek. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 23, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Christian life is challenging, but God commands us to do exactly what the word says to us. You look at the story of Jesus Christ himself, what he went through. A man that had no fault in himself, but still gives himself to the human race to save you and I. And even when sometimes, for me, it's just a little thing, like maybe just like even a gossip, I just hear that Grandview was gossiping me about me, and then Grandview doesn't know. And then I overhear him gossiping about me. I'm not saying he does that. I'm just You know, it would be just as little thing as a gossip. How we react sometimes. But when you read about these accounts, sometimes they make me shake, they make me tremble. To say, I've got a lot to do as a believer. We got a lot to do as a church. To do things that will seem abnormal to the society or communities out there. For us to stand out as Christians who truly worship our Lord in truth and in spirit. It's a challenge to each one of us. You know, in Christianity, in the life of a believer, we've chosen the life that we will do certain things that don't make sense to somebody who's not a believer. And indeed, it looks bizarre and abnormal to them because they don't understand it. But that's the kind of life that we are seeing here. To say, what? You have the chance of getting hold of this soul. You just let go. Wait until the soul comes for the second time. We will just finish you. You won't give you even a chance. But this seemed to be the life of the one that he's in that covenant with God. The one whose heart is embedded in the heart of God. So this message is for you and I. Sometimes I do something in my household and obviously probably doesn't go well with my wife. And my wife will say, ah, come on then. Why have you just done things like this? I'm not happy about this. You know, I'm not really happy about it. Then I'll just be there and explain to her why I did the things the way I've done them, which makes her not feel good about it. And I leave it just like that. And thinking I've solved anything. But the battle continues because she still feels, I think that's not enough. Until maybe sometimes she'll say, you know what, you talked about this, but you didn't even say sorry. You see, to those of you who are married or have been married, you know that you cannot come out and say, I've not have had any difference with my spouse or I haven't had any, you know, argument. But not argument in a bad way, in a principle, you know, not whereby because you differ on this one thing or another and then you say, then it's finished for you. You are no longer my wife or you are no longer married. No, that's not what we are talking about. Having that indifference in a principle. And sometimes I remember again when I was a teenager, sometimes you know, growing up and you talk to say, when you see that, sometimes you see from your home, maybe your dad and mom, they upset each other. You see that they have upset each other. And then when you are playing with your fellow out there as teenagers, you'll be talking things like, me, when I get married, I don't want to even argue with my wife. I will look after her, I will do nice things and things like that. And you are talking about that. And this one is saying this, oh, me, I don't take any nonsense, you know. I don't want my wife to do this and that. You're talking about that as young people, as teenagers who don't understand what marriage is all about. And sometimes for me, I could go home and even say that in front of my sisters. You know what, me, when I get married, and my sisters say, come on, shut up, we don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. I can't do that. I can't argue with my wife, the one I love. And they'll say, do you think that is even love. You don't know what you're talking about. Now, I'm talking about these small things that sometimes we fail to do. But you're talking about Saul, who was massacre, who was killing people, who was persecuting people then, before obviously changed, when he was transformed those times, who people saw what he did. No nonsense man. No any laughter in him. And everyone knows what would be at stake once he comes close to you. And David gives such a gesture to him. When the people that surrounded David, they were thinking that could be, you know, the change of their things, because they thought that was the right chance now maybe to kill him. Since he's been killing others, now it's a chance to do that. And David decides not to do that. And as we just struggle with small things like, I'm sorry. You see, God employs us to stand out in some ways that we do not see happening to the majority. We sit in the pews, we sit in the church worshiping God. It's nice we sing, it's nice we pray. But God employs us to go even beyond what we are already doing. So we should not be tired, because there's more to do. Somebody was able to say that it's not over until God says it's over. So we are learning each day that comes by in our Christian walk. There are things that we will do, not because we will stand out in some platform and speak the word of God. But it's in the way we live in our communities. It's in the way we talk to the people that even we see that they don't have Jesus in their lives. That will minister a lot. It's the way we will handle the matters in our families as well. That will minister a lot. It's the way David handled this situation that ministered to Saul and made Saul to say, you are the righteous man. You are righteous more than I am. David did not stand there to say big prayer. It's just in the actions. So it's the same thing to us as a church. God is reminding us through his word that we need to stand tall in doing, not only in words, but also in our works, in our actions. How we act when I step on your toes. It's not until I step on your toes, that's when everyone will know. So it's in those little things. It's very challenging, but that's what we are called to be as a church, as Christians. I was talking about little things that you hear. Somebody says, I will never talk to you. Sometimes when I hear about these stories, I think through it and I give it a thought to say, what? I don't know if I can cope. I know I've had some differences with my siblings in principle, but to now say that that's the end of you, I don't know how I can cope. That's the end of you, I will never speak to you, I don't want to see you. Sometimes even when maybe the other part is trying to reach out to you, you avoid them, you don't answer the phone calls. Sometimes I think through to say, I don't know how I would cope with that, because even when things, as long as I still want to say, okay, hello, Even if I know that we will not agree in everything, but I still want that kind of. And when I read these kind of scriptures, I say, okay, so if I'm even a Christian, that's what God commands me to be. That's what God implores each and every one of us to do. So as a church, in conclusion, God demands us to stay the course. To spare one another's lives. He wants to be welcoming. He wants us to draw a line where we come to that drawing lines where we can sit together and talk together, laugh together, dialogue, and find a common goal. And that's the church that God is looking forward to build. And that's what will make us stand out as the church of God, as Christians, doing those things that don't make sense out there, where the people out there will begin to say, what has become of you? What has just happened? This is not John that we used to know. This is not Jizenge that we used to know. This is not Josh that we used to know. Now you can even get married. You know, so it's those things that will make that distinction. But if we will stay just like anyone else, believe me, people will not find the reason why they should come and be with us, why they should follow this Jesus that we talk about all the time. Because they see we are just the same lifestyle. Everything that we say, everything that we do, our actions, is just the same. So they will be seeing no point. Even in the just little things, I always say that, you know, when God saved you or when God saves me, it doesn't mean that you now those whom God has not yet touched their lives, they begin to be your enemy. It doesn't mean that. Or they cease to be your friend. They still be your friends. Go out, have a cup of tea with them. Go out with them. But it's the way you carry out yourself. You know what God has done to you. Because there will always be a moment that sometimes them, because they are not at the level where you are, they would want to indulge themselves in certain things. But for you, because you are at a certain level where they are not, that's where you stand out in with your diplomacy to handle the situation and still love them. And you see people begin to say little things that, oh, no, we can't do this because Jennifer is here. We can't do this because Ivan is here, because Ivan, I think, does not condone that kind of, you know, talks or lifestyle, does not want to involve themselves. And it's through those little things, you are not even opening your Bible and reading scriptures to them or to say, let me pray for you so that just the hand of God, you know, the Spirit of God can hover over you so that when you go there, you will not start shouting at people once you are high and stuff like that. You know, it's in these acts. So, there's a saying that says, actions speak louder than words. So, it's the word that is coming. We see the actions that David portrayed. And that's what we are the church, we are employed to do. Amen.